Now, the rest of the story. For those who did not actually live through the Great Depression, it's difficult to conceive of that dark chapter in our nation's history. As they say, you just had to be there. Charles Darrow was. He was there. Charles resided in Germantown, Pennsylvania. Before the crash, he was a prosperous heating equipment salesman. His prosperity was measured in the significant comforts of life which most of us take for granted. He could even afford an annual vacation to Atlantic City for himself and his family. The dream was undone overnight. He lost his job, as millions lost their jobs. At once he was preoccupied with the barest of necessities, keeping his home, feeding his family. Well, to this end, a man will do anything required of him, so Charles became an odd jobber. He mowed lawns for those who could still afford such luxury. He repaired household appliances for people in his neighborhood. Still, his income was inadequate to keep up with the grocery bills, so he got a part-time job patching concrete. He walked neighbors' dogs for a few pennies. The months passed slowly. Somehow Charles managed to keep his head above water, but then came the final straw. His wife was expecting another child. What otherwise would have been joyous news was now greeted with grave apprehension. One more mouth to feed, one too many. At that moment, Charles took a long look at himself, the man he'd become, a man facing defeat in the clutches of the Depression. And he didn't like what he saw. In the beginning, he'd bravely, almost cheerfully, met the challenge of financial adversity, but then it was simply an obstacle to overcome. Now, all at once, his knees were weakening under the weight of an uncertain future, and as might be expected, Charles, wishing only to forget, submerged himself in daydreams. Daydreams. Perhaps this explains what happened that night when Charles sat down at the kitchen table with a pencil and paper and began to reminisce. In his mind's eye, he traveled backward to the happy times, to the carefree family vacations at Atlantic City, and one by one he listed the scenic landmarks of that resort. And then he stared at the paper. If only he were a wealthy tycoon, if only he had millions to burn, he would scoop up his family in his arms, he would go to Atlantic City, and they would buy the whole town. Charles had no way of knowing it then. But the future he dreaded so was about to become a glorious one. The Depression had almost whipped Charles Darrow, but not quite. For while millions of down-and-outers dreamed of wealth and power they would never know, Charles capitalized on a nation's thirst for such a vicarious thrill. Using the landmarks of his fondly remembered vacation spot, Atlantic City, he created an imaginary world where ordinary men could be tycoons. Well, Charles lived 35 years more. He died a multimillionaire because once upon a time, in the depths of his own despair, he sat down at his kitchen table and he invented what was to become the most popular parlor game then and now in the entire world. Monopoly. And now you know the rest of the story.